We know many of you listen to this podcast on the go, driving to work, working out, even doing chores. Now you can get CPE credit for that time. With Earmark, you can earn free NASBA-approved CPE for listening to the Inside Public Accounting podcast. After you listen to an episode, take a quiz, and your certificate will be ready. Earmark has courses for everyone in your firm, from staff to partners. Get started today at earmark.app or download the free app on the App Store.
Today, we're talking about something every accounting firm claims to care about, but very few are actually getting it right. It's talent retention, and specifically what the younger staff, this generation coming through, are telling us they want from their employers and their accounting firms.
And spoiler, it is not pizza parties or ping pong tables or casual Fridays. The things younger staff are asking for are really pretty straightforward, but they require leadership and not just perks.
Yes, and we talk about these gimmicks. I saw an accounting firm website that promised a free fruit bowl in their offices. Now that's really going to move the dial. This is the Inside Public Accounting podcast. I'm Rob Brown.
And I'm Chelsea Summers, Executive Director of Inside Public Accounting.
So let's start with some key themes here around this topic of talent retention, transparency. Chelsea, this is something you've taught me this year, and I did a wrap-up on my own Accounting Voices show to talk about why this year was so pivotal for accountants. And in looking forward, transparency is going to be a superpower for leaders. And thank you for teaching me that. You've really advocated that and what it means. So we'll dip into it here because younger staff, they want to understand how the firm works, not in some abstract way, not in some vague way of the firm's doing well, but specifically how their work contributes to the bigger picture.
Exactly. We hear things like, what is our firm revenue? Where are we going as a firm? And how does my role fit into that vision? And when leaders don't answer those questions directly, people typically fill that silence with assumptions. And sometimes those are negative assumptions.
Yeah, transparency builds loyalty. And this silence, it creates turnover because rumors, they fill a vacuum. We all know that. And without you as leaders owning that narrative, people are going to make up stories for themselves. So number one, transparency. What's next, Chelsea, with talent retention?
Yeah, the next one is really clarity on their career paths. Younger accountants are done with the old pay your dues and maybe you'll be a partner narrative.
And it's not necessarily a fast track, Chelsea. It's this clarity. They want some options. They want some choice. They want a certain autonomy and flexibility. We might talk more about that, but they've got questions. What are the paths? Where am I going? What skills do I need? Who's going to look after me? What happens if I don't want to be partner, but I do want to grow?
Right. And I think for firms that are defining those multiple career tracks, both in the technical and advisory, operations and technology, those are the ones that are really going to keep their best people.
Yeah. Flexibility is going to be a big thing, but it is shifting. It's not just remote work anymore.
Yeah. It's about how the work fits into the staff's life. When you work, how you work and whether your schedule is predictable. The younger staff, they want autonomy and not 24/7. You can work anywhere as long as you are always available model.
Yeah, we've seen that as a theme this year, the mental fatigue, the burnout, because this always on expectation is exhausting. And working from home, you do seem to be always on. It's a big reason people burn out, even in these so-called flexible environments, isn't it?
Exactly. It's hard when you're always home and your office is your house to put those barriers up. And I think we've learned a lot through COVID on and people working remote on really putting those barriers in place. We're hearing that flexibility without boundaries doesn't really feel like flexibility. It feels uncertain. People want to know when they're expected to be on and when they can truly disconnect, and that when they do disconnect, their time is respected.
Yeah, there's a bleed, isn't there, between personal and professional life, and it's difficult to draw a line. I guess, Chelsea, that's where trust comes in, because hybrid isn't perhaps the perk anymore. It seems to be a baseline. Real flexibility shows up when leaders trust their people to manage their work and not their hours.
Yeah. The firms that are doing this well are really focusing on outcomes instead of optics. They're caring about the work getting done well and on time, but not whether someone is online at 7:30 p.m. or sitting in a specific chair in their office.
And the argument for monitoring our people and bringing them into the office is accountability. But actually, when trust is there, the flexibility actually increases accountability because people are taking ownership of their work, because they feel trusted and respected and not monitored.
Yeah, perfect. That's very true. Another one that comes up a lot is younger staff care more about the culture around them than any perk a firm can offer.
Culture is such a big one, Chelsea. That soup that we all live in, the Diet Coke or whatever it is we're drinking, the Kool-Aid. It's what defines the fabric of your firm. And so what plays into this? Mentorship, psychological safety, regard for mental health, managers who check in like humans. That's what keeps people, particularly this younger generation, isn't it?
Absolutely. And we keep hearing a lot about burnout, and burnout is not just about the hours that you're working. It's about the lack of control and meaning and really feeling like your work is just disappearing into the void after it's done.
True retention, I hear from leaders, is the relationship between the staff and their manager. People leave because of a bad boss, not necessarily because of a bad firm.
Yeah.
But the extra dimension here for me is interest in engaging work. So don't chain people to a desk in a dark room with grinding work, because those days are gone and people don't go for that anymore.
Yeah.
Chelsea, what else is shaping talent retention?
Yeah, another theme that we hear is that technology matters a lot. The younger professionals come in, they're expecting automation, AI, and tools that are really removing the repetitive manual work.
Yeah, if you're giving them old technology, old software, old hardware, that's a problem. And if they don't see good technology, it's not just frustrating, it concerns them. Because if a firm feels outdated and you're not keeping up and you're not investing in technology, the staff will worry that their careers are equally going to be disregarded.
Yeah, and people don't want to spend their early careers doing work that could be automated. They want to spend time learning and analyzing, problem solving, and adding value to the clients, not manually moving data from one system or one report into another.
And that's the interest in engaging work that I was speaking about. You can make it more enjoyable for them. We know it's hard. We know there are busy seasons and everything else, but that's why technology isn't just an efficiency conversation. It becomes a talent conversation.
Yeah, and those firms that are investing in the modern tools and actually training people on how to use those tools, that's sending a clear signal that our firm is thinking about the future and we're investing in you.
Yeah, I like that. And the opposite's true too, Chelsea, because when a firm delays tech decisions or hangs on to legacy systems, the staff are naturally going to interpret that as stagnation and you don't care and you don't want to move forward.
Yeah, and it's really interesting that younger staff don't seem to expect perfection in the technology. They know that systems are evolving, but they do expect intentional progress. They want roadmaps, experimentation, and a leadership that's willing to try new things.
When I ask firm leaders what's top of their docket for priorities, it's technology and it's talent. And these two are intertwined, aren't they? Because what we're saying, Chelsea, is technology has become a retention strategy, not a way to shave minutes off a workflow, but it shapes how people see a long-term future at any particular firm.
Yeah. And at the end of the day, people really want to feel like their work matters. They want to feel appreciated and they want to understand the impact of what they're doing.
Yeah. They want to be part of a story, part of something bigger than themselves. And that happens when firms communicate some kind of purpose, even the small things like how a client will use the work or what the difference you're making to clients or what you're doing in the community. All of those things see engagement go up.
Yeah.
So let's flip this, Chelsea, and talk about what firms get wrong. What is coming up on the horizon for firms that neglect talent? What are firms getting consistently wrong with retention?
Yeah, so we're seeing that some firms think that mentorship is an optional perk. It's not. Younger staff want coaching throughout the year, not just one annual review and a rating that happens at the end of the year.
Accountants have got used to doing it one-year reviews and performance management things and on that yearly cycle, but it's got to be more regular, more intentional than that. And for a soundbite, how about this? Silence from your manager, your boss, is the fastest path to disengagement. You'll just tune out.
Exactly. A huge mistake we see is leadership that wait until after a decision has already been made to say anything. Or even worse than that, they don't say anything until the rumor mill starts to kick in.
Yeah, I've been doing a series on my own show about the signals that happen in a firm before any announcements are made. So when things are happening at the top with mergers and private equity and things like that, there are signs. And once the rumors start, Chelsea, you're absolutely right. Those leaders have already lost control of the narrative.
Yeah. And at that point, people aren't just reacting to the decision. They're really reacting to the uncertainty that that decision brings. Whether it's a private equity deal or a reorganization or a leadership change, the silence from the top creates a whole lot of anxiety.
You talked about leadership change. Silence creates anxiety. And what happens there, Chelsea, is that the announcement itself isn't enough, is it?
No. People want to know what happened, but they also want to understand the why. Why this decision? Why now? And how it connects to the firm's long-term direction?
Yeah, it's context. Context is great for communication. And when people don't get the context, when the leaders, the firm skips it, people assume the worst. That's just natural human instinct, even if the decision itself is the right one and it makes sense.
Yeah, we hear it all the time. The leaders think that they're protecting people by waiting until things are finalized. But in reality, that delay really erodes the trust inside the firm.
But leaders don't go with the early announcements because they don't have all the answers, do they? But that's okay, isn't it, Chelsea, not to have all the answers?
Yeah, it means saying, here's what we're considering, here's what we know, and here's what we don't know yet. And that transparency really goes a long way.
Firms that do that tend to see less disruption, less attrition. This is even during the big changes. And Chelsea, you've got the data to show that, haven't you?
Yeah. When people feel like they're informed and respected, they're far more likely to stay engaged, even if the news isn't perfect or completely wrapped up yet.
Yeah. And I'm intrigued with this employer brand concept that's come through over the last few years. What firms do to say that we are a great place to work? Because they'll talk about flexible work, but younger staff say that the real perk is not just flexible work, but support. Support with workload, support with difficult clients, support with career development. It's that support dynamic that's really missing sometimes.
Yeah. The flexibility without support is still going to lead to burnout.
We see some firms still trying to solve modern retention problems with solutions from the 1990s.
Yes. Pizza parties, casual Friday, fruit bowls, billable hour bonuses. Or my favorite, everybody gets a cookie, but also here's your 60-hour work week.
Meanwhile, staff are still asking for that clarity, that mentorship, that meaning, that good technology, not the sugar and the free fruit bowl.
Right. And the good news is that really, none of this is very complicated. Younger staff aren't asking for extravagant incentives or wild benefits. They're really just asking for leadership.
And what does leadership mean? Clear communication, transparency, real development, modern tools, good mentorship, and a culture where people actually feel valued and part of something.
Yeah. And in the firms that can get those things right, they're going to see that retention becomes a lot less mysterious and is a lot easier inside the firm.
All right, this wraps up this episode on talent retention. It's a great way to end the year. If you're a firm leader, you're probably doing a lot of this stuff, but you might be wrestling with retention. These are the areas to focus on. And stay tuned, because next week we're going to be diving into the launch of the Inside Public Accounting Practice Management Survey. It's one of our highlights of the year. How to participate, how you can complete the survey, how you can help your firm and get some of the benefits of participation.
Yeah, we're excited. And until next time, keep leading with the data.